Imagine staring at a pill organizer at like 2 in the morning, completely unable to remember if you gave your mother her blood pressure medication. Your chest is tight, your brain is entirely fogged over, and you are not just tired.
Right, it is way beyond tired.
Yeah, you are running on this dangerous kind of empty, and you are terrified that you are somehow failing the person who needs you the most.
That exact moment of midnight panic is so incredibly common. It is a terrifying realization that your own physical and mental capacity has just hit a concrete wall.
Welcome to today's deep dive. We are wearing our hats as editors for the California Care Compass today, and our mission is to unpack the reality behind a guide we put together. It is called Caregiver Burnout: When You Need a Break from Caring.
And we are talking directly to you today.
Exactly. You are a California family member who might be stepping into this massive, complicated world of elder care for the very first time. You have never had to navigate this system before, and honestly, the landscape is incredibly murky.
It is the absolute definition of diagnostic muddy waters, especially when it comes to figuring out your own personal limits as a caregiver. And we know exactly how you got to this point because, well, it almost never happens all at once.
Right. It is rarely a single dramatic phone call from the hospital or one isolated medical emergency that just flips your life upside down. For you, it was likely a very slow, almost invisible accumulation of responsibilities.
It starts so small. It starts with just, dropping by your dad's house to check on him. Mm-hmm. Then you are picking up his groceries on the weekend.
Yeah, just helping out.
Right. And then over a few months, it evolves into managing all his complex medications, scheduling every specialist appointment, and fighting with the insurance company.
And now you find yourself sitting at your kitchen table late at night. You are scrolling numbly through your phone after a brutally long day. You've worked your full-time job, cared for your own kids, and then spent 4 hours caring for your parent.
You are fundamentally exhausted. But we want to validate that it is so much more than just being tired. That profound weariness deep in your bones, that irritability where you snap at your spouse, the isolation.
And that sudden surge of resentment.
Exactly, which is almost immediately followed by a massive crushing wave of guilt. All of that is very real.
So let's clearly identify what this is.
Yeah.
Because this feeling has a name. It is called caregiver burnout. And recognizing it is not a sign of weakness, it is actually the very first, most critical step toward building a sustainable care plan for everyone involved.
Precisely. Caregiver burnout is the single greatest threat to your ability to continue providing the loving care your family member desperately needs.
So when your body is physically and mentally breaking down from this slow creep of responsibility, how do you know if you're just stressed out or actually burning out? Because, I mean, in our culture, those two words get thrown around interchangeably all the time.
They absolutely do, but biologically and psychologically, they represent very different states.
Let's break down the fundamental mechanism of the difference here.
Stress is a state of too much. You have too many pressures, too many demands, and way too much to do in too little time. When you are stressed, your nervous system is hyperactive, your emotions are on overdrive.
Right, you're basically buzzing with anxiety.
Yes, but here is the critical key to stress. You still feel somewhere deep down that if you can just get everything organized, if you can just get through the weekend, you will survive. You still have a baseline level of hope.
Okay, so then what about burnout? How does the mechanism shift there?
Burnout is a state of not enough. It is feeling utterly empty, numb, and devoid of any motivation. It is a state of complete physical, emotional, and mental exhaustion.
Wow.
Where stress feels like you are drowning in a stormy ocean of responsibility, burnout feels like you have already drowned and you are just floating there, completely detached from everything. That sense of hope that you can fix things is just gone.
I want to push back on something here because the psychology of this gets really complicated. We mentioned that heavy layer of guilt caregivers carry. They often think that a better daughter or a more devoted son simply would not feel this way.
Oh, totally.
So does this specific type of guilt actually accelerate the burnout cycle? Does the shame prevent caregivers from admitting they are drowning until it is too late?
That is an incredibly dangerous trap. And yes, the guilt absolutely accelerates the biological cycle of burnout. Caregivers deeply love the person they are caring for.
Right.
So when they start to feel numb or resentful about giving up their own lives, it feels like a massive moral failure. But we have to be completely clear here. Burnout is absolutely not a reflection of a lack of love.
So if it isn't a failure of love, what is actually happening in the body?
It is a purely natural biological response. It is the human nervous system reacting to a prolonged, demanding situation with insufficient support. Think of it like a circuit breaker in your house.
Okay, I like that.
When too much power surges through the system for too long, the breaker trips to prevent a massive fire. Your body and mind are shutting down the emotional circuits to say the current path is unsustainable.
It means the caregiver now requires care, too.
Exactly. Ignoring a tripped circuit breaker does not turn the lights back on. It just means you are sitting in the dark.
So since the body is forcefully tripping these circuit breakers, what exactly does that look like in our daily lives? Because it creeps in so slowly, making it, you know, very easy to dismiss as just having a tough month at work.
It is very easy to rationalize away. But we can look at the breakdown in three distinct categories: emotional, physical, and behavioral signs.
Let's start with the emotional toll, because this is usually the front line where the breakdown begins, right?
Yes, the emotional toll is where the nervous system first shows strain. You might develop a notoriously short fuse. Small inconveniences that never bothered you before suddenly trigger a massive flash of anger.
Like dropping a spoon and just losing it.
Right. You snap at your kids, your partner, or devastatingly, the person you're caring for, which immediately fuels that toxic guilt cycle we just discussed. You might wake up with a constant sense of dread or emptiness.
The isolation mechanism really stands out to me.
Yeah.
You start turning down invitations from close friends because you just do not have the energy to explain your life to them.
Yeah, it takes too much effort to pretend you are fine.
And then you convince yourself that no one understands your specific situation anyway, so you intentionally pull away even more.
Exactly. And your brain's reward center stops functioning normally. Previously loved hobbies become obligations. Reading a novel or planting flowers in the garden suddenly feels like it requires way more cognitive energy than you have to give.
Which logically leads right into the physical breakdown. I'm trying to think of a good way to picture this. People always use that tired cliche of running a car on fumes.
Right, the car analogy.
But a car on fumes just stops. It does not break the engine. Burnout feels more like a rechargeable smartphone battery that has been drained to 0% way too many times.
Oh, that is good.
The battery might say, "It is fully charged when you wake up, but your maximum capacity has permanently shrunk and you are dead again by noon."
That is a much more accurate biological analogy. Your physiological capacity is shrinking. The physical signs are undeniable once you understand the mechanism. It is a persistent, heavy fatigue from the very moment you open your eyes.
Wow, yeah.
And your sleep architecture gets completely destroyed by cortisol, which is the stress hormone.
So what does that look like at night?
You either jolt awake at 3 a.m. with a racing heart, going over your massive to-do list because your brain will not shut off the threat response.
Just staring at the ceiling.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Or the exact opposite happens. Your body is so depleted you sleep for 12 hours straight and still wake up feeling completely exhausted.
There are also unexplained physical changes, right? People often experience significant weight fluctuations because they either completely forget to eat or they desperately rely on highly processed foods to get a quick dopamine hit to cope with the stress.
The junk food cycle is very real.
And because your immune system is actively suppressed by chronic cortisol, you might find yourself catching absolutely every minor cold that goes around.
When your body is physically breaking down from poor sleep and stress, your behavior inevitably changes to compensate. That brings us to the behavioral red flags.
Okay, what are those?
Behavioral signs are the outward actions that prove your battery is degraded. You start actively neglecting your own foundational needs. You cancel your own dental cleanings and doctor appointments because you feel you simply do not have the time.
And the cognitive decline is real too. Finding it incredibly hard to focus at your actual job, misplacing your keys constantly, or forgetting important conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start leaning heavily on unhealthy coping mechanisms just to numb out, drinking more wine than usual, or just completely zoning out in front of the television for hours on end just to escape your current reality.
If you are hearing this and seeing your own life reflected in this list, you need to firmly understand that you are experiencing a well-documented medical and physiological response to chronic stress. You are not morally failing your family.
Okay, so once you recognize these emotional, physical, and behavioral red flags,
mm-hmm.
why is it so incredibly dangerous to just grit your teeth and power through? Because I think that is the American default setting. Just push harder, just drink more coffee and get it done.
It is absolutely the cultural default, but it is deeply dangerous because ignoring burnout directly threatens the physical safety and well-being of the vulnerable person receiving care.
Right.
When a caregiver's battery is totally degraded, the actual quality of care suffers drastically.
And we have to be clear, this is almost never intentional neglect.
Not at all. It is a simple biological lack of capacity. A cognitively foggy, sleep-deprived caregiver is mathematically far more likely to make a catastrophic mistake. The risk of a medication error skyrockets when you are exhausted.
That makes total sense.
You might miss new, subtle medical symptoms, like the very early stages of bed sores or a urinary tract infection, because you are simply too tired to notice the subtle behavioral changes in your parent.
We also have to remember that caregiving isn't just a clinical checklist of tasks. It is fundamental human connection.
Exactly. A burned-out caregiver might flawlessly go through the physical motions of bathing and feeding, but lack the emotional energy for vital companionship and reassurance.
Yeah.
You might unknowingly use a tone of voice that conveys deep frustration, which then causes acute emotional distress and anxiety for your loved one who already feels like a burden.
People always use the airplane oxygen mask analogy here, but I frankly hate it. It feels totally disconnected from reality.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, a better way to think about your role as a caregiver is to view yourself as the primary load-bearing structural pillar of a house. You cannot expect a cracked, crumbling concrete pillar to hold up the entire roof just because it really loves the house.
That is such a good way to put it.
You have to repair and reinforce the pillar first, or the entire structure collapses on everyone inside.
That is a perfect structural analogy. The caregiver's health is the foundation of the entire living arrangement. Think about the logistics. If you literally collapse from chronic stress or develop a serious health crisis of your own,
right, then what happens?
Who is going to step in and provide the care tomorrow morning? There is no one left. Protecting your own physical and mental well-being is not a luxury. It is a strictly required part of the medical caregiving plan.
I completely agree with the logic, but let me push back on the reality of it. If we agree the structural pillar needs immediate reinforcement, how do you actually do that when you have absolutely zero free time?
It feels impossible.
Telling an exhausted caregiver to practice self-care feels like assigning them another massive project on a plate that is already cracking under the weight.
We have to completely redefine self-care. You do not need to book a week-long vacation or a spa day. You just need immediate breathing room to regulate your nervous system.
One of the most powerful concepts we cover at the California Care Compass is aggressively giving yourself permission to lower the bar. You are a family home, not a sterile medical institution.
Exactly.
Serving a good enough dinner of scrambled eggs and toast that buys you 30 extra minutes of rest on the couch is vastly superior to cooking a perfect, balanced, gourmet dinner that leaves you completely drained and weeping in the pantry.
Reclaiming that 30 minutes is crucial, and it ties directly into the psychological power of the micro break.
Let's be very clear about what a micro break is, because doom scrolling social media while waiting for a pot of water to boil absolutely does not count.
No, scrolling actually keeps your brain in a state of high alert. A micro break is consciously, intentionally stepping entirely away from the caregiver identity for just a few minutes.
But wait, if someone is so stressed they're missing their own medical appointments, telling them to just stand in the sun for 5 minutes feels like putting a tiny bandage on a massive wound. Is that really going to stop the collapse?
It will not solve the logistical nightmare, but it physically stops the biological collapse in that moment. It is about neurobiology.
Okay, how so?
When you step outside and stand in the sun for 5 minutes, focusing only on your breathing, you activate your parasympathetic nervous system. You pull your brain out of a constant fight or flight state. It acts as a reset button for your cortisol levels.
Oh, wow.
It could be putting on noise-canceling headphones and listening to 3 of your favorite songs completely uninterrupted, or simply making a cup of tea, walking into a different room, shutting the door, and staring out the window.
It sounds deceptively simple, but these small acts of physical separation remind your brain that you are an individual person with your own identity outside of your caregiving role.
Absolutely.
But there's a massive psychological hurdle here. Actually asking for real help. Caregivers constantly feel like an imposition to others, and they harbor this secret belief that absolutely no one else can do the job right.
That is the most common mental block. We convince ourselves we are the only capable ones. But the people in your life usually do want to help. They just do not know how to navigate your complex situation.
Because it is overwhelming from the outside, too.
Exactly. When you use vague statements like, I'm just so overwhelmed, it actually freezes people. They do not know how to fix overwhelmed.
So what is the mechanism for breaking through that freeze response?
Yeah.
How do we ask?
you must make incredibly concrete, time-limited requests. Instead of complaining that you are exhausted, ask a neighbor, would you be willing to pick up my mom's prescriptions from the pharmacy on Thursday afternoon?
Right, super specific.
Or ask your sibling, could you come sit with dad for exactly 2 hours on Saturday morning so I can go to a coffee shop?
I love the strategy of asking a distant relative
uh-huh.
to simply call your mom for a dedicated 20-minute chat so you can have a guaranteed moment of quiet in another room. People can easily say yes to 20 minutes on the phone.
Exactly. Micro breaks and specific concrete asks are your immediate tactical survival tools to get through the week.
But micro breaks are just for keeping our heads above water today. How do we build a long-term ship to keep us afloat next month and next year? What formal systemic options exist specifically for a California family trying to build this infrastructure?
This is where we transition from personal tactics to formal respite care, which is a professional service designed specifically to provide a short-term break for primary caregivers. For any California family, the absolute most crucial starting point is finding your local area agency on aging.
The area agency on aging. Let's dig into the mechanism of that. What is it, and how does a family actually use it?
Every single county in California has an area agency on aging. They are funded and overseen by the California Department of Aging. Think of them as the master directory and main hub for all senior services in your specific geographic community.
So you do not have to have it all figured out before you call?
Not at all. You do not have to know what you need when you call them. You call, explain your situation, and ask to speak with a care navigator or family consultant.
And what mechanism do they trigger for a family caregiver?
They run the local family caregiver support program. The care navigator assesses your situation and connects you to local respite care providers, specialized support groups, and vital caregiver training.
They basically do the heavy lifting for you.
Exactly. They are the experts who know exactly what grants or programs you are eligible for based on your zip code and income.
Let's talk about income, because elder care is wildly expensive.
Hmm.
What about the mechanisms for parents who have low income and are currently enrolled in Medi-Cal? What actually exists for them?
California has very robust, specific programs for this population. The most prominent and crucial program to know is in-home supportive services, commonly known as IHSS.
Okay, IHSS.
Yes. This massive program is overseen statewide by the California Department of Social Services.
How does the IHSS mechanism actually work on the ground to alleviate burnout?
It is fundamentally designed to keep people safely in their own homes. If your parent qualifies medically and financially, a county social worker comes to the home, conducts an assessment of daily needs, and authorizes a specific number of paid hours per month.
So they decide how much help you get.
Right. The program then pays for a caregiver to come into the home and help with bathing, dressing, meal preparation, and light housekeeping.
Which takes those heavy, physical daily tasks entirely off your plate, giving you a predictable, scheduled break.
It is huge.
And interestingly, in many cases in California, a family member can actually be hired as the paid IHSS caregiver, which can alleviate severe financial stress if you had to reduce your work hours to provide care.
Exactly. It provides structural relief. Another incredible mechanism for relief is community-based adult services, or CBAS.
I have heard of adult daycare. Is that the same thing?
It is similar, but CBAS is a much higher level medical model. These are comprehensive daytime facilities where an older adult can go for the day.
Okay, so it is more structured.
Yes. Because it is a medical model requiring a doctor's authorization, they receive nutritious meals, social engagement, nursing care, and physical or occupational therapy.
Taking your parent to a safe, engaging facility for the day sounds like an absolute massive relief valve for a struggling family member.
It is a total game changer for burnout. It provides a full 6 to 8 hour block of time where you know they are safe and receiving medical care, allowing you to go to work or simply rest.
That is incredible.
The CBAS program is complex because it is jointly administered by both the Department of Healthcare Services and the California Department of Aging, but it is covered under Medi-Cal for eligible participants.
Are there any other high-level resources a California family should know about before we wrap up?
Briefly, for individuals requiring a nursing facility level of care who wish to remain at home, there are home and community-based services waivers. These are approved by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Okay, what do those do?
These waivers provide comprehensive packages that can fund in-home nursing and extensive respite care. Navigating the bureaucracy is incredibly tough, though.
I can only imagine.
Which is why I also highly recommend leaning on the Family Caregiver Alliance. They are an outstanding nonprofit partner recognized by state agencies for providing incredible state-specific information, advocacy, and navigation help.
Okay, we have covered the biology of burnout, the emotional toll, and the California bureaucracy. That is a massive amount of information.
It really is a lot to digest.
We want to pivot to a collaborative survival strategy for you this week. We are not giving you extra homework because you already have too much to do. If you only have the energy to do a few small things this week to stop the collapse, here is a manageable plan.
Step one is entirely for your own self-awareness.
Right. Take the caregiver burnout self-check on the California Care Compass website. You do not have to show the results to anyone.
No, it is just for you.
But seeing exactly where you fall on the spectrum from stress to critical burnout on paper can be a powerful validating motivator to finally take action.
Step two is purely a low-energy administrative task. Search online today for the area agency on aging in your specific county, find their main phone number, and just stick it on your refrigerator.
Just having it there is a step.
Exactly. You do not even have to call them this week. Just get the resource visible in your daily environment.
Step three, look at your calendar right now and block out one 30-minute window. Label it my time and defend it fiercely.
Protect that time.
Do whatever regulates your nervous system, even if it is just drinking tea in silence, but take that break.
And step four, call one single person in your life and make one specific, highly concrete, small request. Ask a neighbor to grab a gallon of milk. Practice the actual physical act of accepting help.
Before we close out today's deep dive, we want to deliver the final California Care Compass perspective on this whole heavy issue, because all these tactics require you, the exhausted caregiver, to do something.
We need to zoom out and look at the bigger picture.
Yes, exactly.
The essential editorial take is this. Your caregiver burnout is not a personal feeling. It is a massive public health issue. Your exhaustion is the completely predictable mathematical outcome of a fractured healthcare system.
A system that expects way too much.
Right. A system that places the enormous, crushing burden of complex elder care entirely on individual families and very often on the shoulders of a single daughter.
The solution is absolutely not for you to just try harder, sleep less, or be more organized with your calendar.
No. You are already doing far more than is humanly sustainable. The solution is to intentionally build a sturdy system of formal and informal support around you using the county and state mechanisms we discussed.
Your health matters fundamentally.
Not just for you, but for the entire structural integrity of everyone who depends on you.
Which is a perfect logical segue into our next deep dive. We're going to cover what happens when home care simply becomes too much, even when you have all these state support systems in place.
That is a tough bridge to cross.
It is. We will explore the critical differences between assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing facilities.
It is a vital, necessary conversation for planning the next stage of care without guilt.
But for today, we wanted to leave you with one last provocative idea to mull over. We talked earlier about sitting at that kitchen table late at night, drowning in a sea of guilt because you feel like you were failing your parent.
Yeah, that awful midnight feeling.
But your burnout is the direct result of a societal system relying solely on individual, isolated families to do the impossible. So consider this. What would our society look like if elder care was treated as essential collective public infrastructure, much like public schools or fire departments, rather than a private, hidden family burden?
Imagine how different that would feel.
Exactly. And how might imagining that collective future help dissolve the immense, heavy personal guilt you are carrying on your shoulders today?